This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
How much longer are we going to refer to the policy at the border as compassionate when this makes it clear that it is anything but?
Well, I think first and foremost we have to recognize that we are a nation of laws, but we're also a nation of immigrants. Republicans talk the big game. They say they want to make sure that we increase security at the border. Well, you know what? Why don't we pass President Biden's 2023 budget? It's got 56
billion. Jose, hold on. I'm sorry.
Billion.
I got to jump in because you're going back. I'm talking about what happened with these people, right? I mean, this is the absolute opposite of compassion. You know better than probably most people who cover this story that the cartels are completely in charge here. So we are allowing the cartels to abuse these human beings to the point of stranding them on the side of the road with absolute disregard for life. It's highly possible that these young women were being trafficked for sex in the United States and beyond. When are we going to stop calling this what it is?
Well, look, I understand that, and my heart goes out to the families that their migrants have passed. But what I can tell you is we need more resources at the border. Republicans have blocked us.
It's a joke. That's a joke.
We need money.
That's not a real response. No, that's such a joke.
Well,
that is not true. Come on.
It is.
No. No, it is not true. It's not true. I've been dealing with this issue for 2 decades. And the fact that you continue to engage in these lies. No, that's not true at all.
Go ahead, Ben.
This is ridiculous. This is a choice. It's a policy choice. The Biden administration is enabling these cartels to profit from the sadness of these people. They are leading to this, exactly to this. This blood is on your hands, and you know it. And no amount of defense that you try to marshal here is going to make up for that. This is the truth. The fact is, you had majorities in the House and the Senate. You had the White House. You could have absolutely done whatever you wanted to do on immigration. That's a lie. You're engaging in a lie here. You know deep in your heart this is true. and this fact, you cannot get around it.
Let me jump in here and ask one more question, guys. Jose, when you look at this situation, I can't even wrap my head around what it was like for the people who were still alive inside of this vehicle. And I want to go back to the point, the idea that the White House continues to say that the border is closed is so preposterous. Obviously, it is not closed. And obviously, both governments on both sides have completely lost control of what's going on at the border. The cartels are running the border. Do you agree with that, Jose, that the cartels are running the border?
And what was the answer of President Trump? He wanted to build the wall. He built a couple miles of wall. And guess what?
This is absurd. He is turning this into a political game where people are dying.
Let me finish. Over 3,000 smugglers have passed the wall that supposedly President Trump built. So what you guys did was
look at this guy. He is engaged in gamesmanship when people are dying. This is unacceptable. I'm a pro-immigrant person. I'm in favor of more immigrants. And he is engaged in this ridiculous partisan and stupid argument that is designed to score points and not designed to solve the problem of the Democratic Party.
All right, I'm going to have to wrap it up because we're out of time. But Jose and Ben, you know, thank you for coming, but we do have to get. I agree, Jose. We have to get past the point where this is about, you know, pointing political fingers, and we have to start caring about the compassion that is said to be the motivation at the border has clearly failed in the most heinous way imaginable by what is happening to the lives of these poor people and these families. So we need to wake up and understand that arguing about technology or a section of wall that was built, obviously, if the whole wall isn't built, the wall's not going to function and people are going to get through. But my, you know, I hate even saying my heart goes out to these families because, you know, it sounds so trite at this point, but it absolutely does. I cannot imagine what these individuals went through.
We have a giant sale going right now of amazing products that you and your family really, really need. And we also need the funding to stay on air and not have InfoWars shut down. You need these products. These are all amazing products at great prices at InfoWarsStore.com. It's the July 4th super sale, and it starts today. We have 50% off plus double Patriot points on Brain Force Plus, Ultra 12, Vitamin D3 Gummies, Ultimate Krill Oil. That's a huge deal. Lung Cleanse Plus, Fizzy Magnesium, Prostagard, Ultimate Fish Oil, VasoBeat Complete, 40% off on Knockout Sleep Support, Alpha Power, Living Defense Plus, Whole Food Multivitamin, Pollen Block, Survival Shield X2, all Dr. Jones Natural products, massively discounted 40%, and up to 60% off in double Patriot points on Super Female Vitality, and finally, save a massive 75% off on Hair and Beard Support Formula. It's 75% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, Alex Jones is Right t-shirt while you're there.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And today I wanted to talk about biblical signs of the end times, the last days. I did an excellent interview a couple days ago with the Australian journalist, Maria Z. She does a lot of really good work in terms of exposing all of the COVID scams and the lockdowns and all that. And she asked me to come on and talk about biblical signs of the end times, the Antichrist, Mark of the Beast, and all that kind of stuff. And I thought it would be good to kind of do an overview of what Scripture says about not just the figure of Antichrist, but even types and images of the Antichrist going all the way back to the Old Testament. Of course, we know about Nimrod, right? Nimrod tried to build the Tower of Babel, a tower that would ascend into heaven to basically fly in the face of God. I don't believe that they really thought they could build a tower to heaven, but they thought they could build a tower in defiance of God and the worship of God towards the worship of man. St. Augustine wrote a famous book that I lectured on, did several hours of lectures through the City of God, which is one of the most famous books in the history of Western literature and the canon of Scripture, or the Western canon, so to speak, of great lit. And, you know, he characterizes the two cities is at war in history, the city of God being God's people, the church, and the city of man being mankind in rebellion against God, worshiping by default Satan, not necessarily directly, but indirectly even through the worship of self. So the city of man, which is erected around humanism, secularism, polytheism, Satanism, you name it, versus the city of God, which is the church or God's people. And so as we move through all the way, you know, the time of Genesis up into, as we said, the Tower of Babel and the events of Genesis 10, you know, God's confuses that situation. In other words, he gives us languages because there was an attempt to unify the world around this single beast type of system and world power. So Nimrod then becomes a type of every future sort of Antichrist until we get to the final Antichrist figure, whenever that is at the end of days or at the end of the world. Now, we don't know when that is, but we know that there will be certain signs, and that's what we're going to look at today to see what are the biblical signs, not what are the headlines, not what are the various preachers' speculations and end times dates and all that kind of nonsense, but what are the actual signs that are listed. And there's other points that I think we want to pay attention to see that there will be things like a one-world economic attempt, a one-world government attempt. There will be a one-world religion attempt as well. All of those factor very prominently into the totality of the message of Scripture, both Old and New Testament, when it comes to this. And also the history of what the Orthodox – I'm an Orthodox Christian. So what are the saints of the first 1,000 years of the church? What are the great theologians of the first 1,000 years of the church? What do they think about the end times, the very people who compiled the canon of Scripture in the first several centuries? What did they think would be the sign of the last days? So we'll look at that here in a minute. But as we come through Scripture, we see a lot of other types of Antichrist. We think of the figure of Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh is a perfect image of Antichrist because he's a state figure who claims to be God, He sees himself as God. We know that in Egyptian religion, Pharaoh was kind of the apex of the, you had the heavens that come down like this as a pyramid, and then the earthly rulers go up like this. And Pharaoh's at the middle of that apex as the bridge between heaven and earth, as God himself. So Pharaoh was a kind of a type of Antichrist in that he was an inversion of the incarnation, right? The Son of God becoming man. Well, Pharaoh said, no, I am the Son of God. I am God. I am both man and God. He's the man God that should be worshipped as the great image of the beast system or the state. And so he, of course, persecuted God's people, as everybody knows, in Exodus. And we have the plagues, which ironically, if you look into the history of that, each plague is actually an attack on a specific Egyptian deity. So there's kind of a spiritual battle of apologetics going on there in terms of the different deities that are being attacked. And so Pharaoh then is clearly a type of Antichrist. Other figures that could be types of Antichrist, not just the other pagan emperors and rulers, but the figure actually of Solomon. And the reason Solomon is a curious type of Antichrist is that Solomon started out very good, as we know from the historical books of Scripture, but then he you know, had so many wives, he got into had such a fascination with the ladies, we'll say, that he caved in and started worshiping the gods of his wives, right? So the gods of his wives were all the surrounding pagan beliefs, and then he allowed that to come into Israel. And so we see a gradual decline in the faithfulness in the kingdom under the person of Solomon, who, as we said, begins very good. So Solomon becomes a kind of a dual type, both of the apostasy of the church that Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians, and of the evil of the Antichrist, in the sense that there's a specific text in Scripture that not many people know about where it says that Solomon brought in 666 talents of gold as a sort of a tax that he would do, right? And so that's, I think, a key indicator that that number, that mystical number of 666 that John talks about in the Apocalypse, we're supposed to connect that also to the idea of the apostasy of Solomon. And so that becomes, in a nutshell, also kind of a microcosm of the apostasy of the life of the nation of Israel, who eventually, you know, goes against God in so many cases in the Old Testament. And the prophets have to call them back, right, out of that apostasy. So we can see an image of both the false religion of the future and the false state ruler, Antichrist, the beast, in the figure of Solomon as well. Other figures like Nebuchadnezzar, if you read the book of Daniel, you'll notice that the great idol that Nebuchadnezzar erects and then says you have to, you know, worship this, fall down before this. And of course, everybody knows the story of Daniel and his friends. They don't do it. And they're put into the fiery furnace. And we see in the midst of the fiery furnace, one like the Son of Man standing amongst them. That's, of course, the angel of the Lord, who throughout the Old Testament is always given this form, this appearance, or what's called a theophany or a manifestation. And he's always distinguished from the person of God the Father throughout the Old Testament. So this angel of the Lord figure, at least according to the classic Orthodox Christian interpretation of the church fathers and so forth, that is the person of Christ before his incarnation. So we see the messenger of the Lord. An angel doesn't always mean a created being. It can just mean a messenger. The angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord, is called, right, God. He's called Yahweh. He's called divine. And that's who's there spoken of in the midst of the fiery furnace, the angel of the Lord. Now, as we go into other texts, we see other characters who, again, as I said, are very, very clear, emblematic figures of Antichrist. One of those is in the books that are not in the Protestant canon of Scripture, but are in the Catholic and Orthodox canon of Scripture, in the books of the Maccabees. And we find in the books of the Maccabees this figure, Antiochus Epiphanes. And he's important because he engages in this event that will become later cited by Christ in the Synoptic Gospels as the abomination of desolation. It's the abomination spoken of by the prophet Daniel, and I think that Daniel is talking about, especially in those latter chapters, Alexander the Great, and then the people who were his sort of underlings who took over after him, one of whom was the most famous Antichrist figure, Antiochus Epiphanes. And of course, if you read the book of Maccabees, you know that Antiochus goes into the temple and defiles it by sacrificing a pig on the altar, viewed as an unclean animal. This is a great defilement, and it's called the abomination of that desolation that Daniel predicts. So when Jesus references this in the Gospels in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, he's referring back to the text in Daniel, and he says in Luke 19 that you will see this temple raised to the ground. You and your children, you will. There will not be one stone left upon this. This is Luke 19. I can barely see the. I can't see the verses there, but. It's right at the end of Luke 19, right before he cleanses the temple. He says that the temple and all of its bricks will be raised to the ground. And he even says that it will come upon this generation in Luke 21 because they didn't know the time of their visitation. And this was the vindication and the vengeance of all things spoken in the prophets, he says in Matthew 23, coming upon this generation. That is the generation standing in front of him. So this is what's called partial preterism, the idea that a lot of the texts that are talking about the destruction of the temple will be fulfilled in 70 AD. And this is very important for Christian prophecy and proving Christianity because these prove that Jesus' predictions did come true. There is an end times fulfillment, but the immediate context, if you read Luke 19 and especially Luke 21, Jesus is very clearly talking about the temple in his day. He even says, this temple here that you see will be raised to the ground. That will be a sign of the diaspora that occurs. That will be a sign of the judgment that's to come, the 70 AD destruction of the temple. That is, and so the character there, Titus Vespasian, is another Antichrist type of figure, just like Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a Greek. And now you have Titus, the Roman. So both the Greeks and the Romans engage in this profanation and this blasphemous event, right? Which is part of those covenantal sanctions and punishments for Israel's.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Jones Show, this is Jay Dyer of JaysAnalysis.com. We're working our way through the historical types, the figures who are emblematic of Antichrist, the final Antichrist who will come. And we're looking for the signs that will be present when that figure emerges, and we can see elements of that final figure in the historical Antichrist figures that have come. And we're working our way up through the Old Testament, and we got up to the New Testament period when we have after Antiochus Epiphanes, there's another lesser known book, Third Maccabees, that not many people know about. But that also describes a figure named Ptolemy, an Egyptian ruler as well, who also repeats this pattern of trying to profane the temple and take over and destroy Israel. And there's a specific text at the very beginning of 3 Maccabees where it says that he tries to basically catalog and mark and track all of his empire and all of those under him. And that becomes another key type, historical type figure, because we know, of course, in Revelation 13 that Antichrist at the end will do the same type of thing. He will try to control all commerce and all food and so forth through a mark upon every citizen in some way, however he may choose that may be. I think we're beginning to see inklings of that with the kinds of systems that they're rolling out. I don't think that we're looking at the Mark of the Beast system, but it's definitely that spirit and that kind of thing that we've seen in the last few years rolling out. And so it's the reason we look at these historical patterns is to show that the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of Satan, does the same thing over and over. And they try to incarnate and instantiate the same program, the same plan over and over and over. And that's part of the message of Scripture, is telling us that very thing, that this demonic spirit, this power in the universe that wants to destroy man, that wants to basically destroy the universe, right, is engaged in the same playbook over and over and over. And it's almost like it can't but do that, right? And so from the time of Babel, and we come all the way up to the time of Christ, we see it repeated once again. And Herod, the figure of Herod, becomes another version of this, because if you remember, he does the same thing that Pharaoh did, right? He tries to have the infants murdered, and ultimately we see this as he actually has them murdered, right? And he does this out of an attempt to destroy the lineage of the Messiah, right? I think that whether it's Pharaoh or whether it's Herod, we're told in the New Testament that the motivation for this going after and destroying and murdering the infants is to destroy the lineage of the Messiah, which we know would come through the Jews. So, of course, you know, abortion is also a satanic sacrifice just in itself, right, apart from trying to destroy the messianic lineage. But the main reason in Scripture is said to be that Satan wanted to get rid of the line through which the Messiah would come, right, the descendants of Abraham, the descendants of David. And so we can see then that repeated pattern of trying to create that world government. But another thing that comes about is, as we said, this sign. So the first sign is the attempt to unify everybody, to destroy the church, destroy God's people, that this attempt to subvert the church in a unique and bizarre way, through which we do get inklings of this, as we said, in Old Testament Israel, through getting the church to compromise, getting the church to water its message and its teaching down, getting them to teach
doctrines that are conformable to the standards of the world and not to God's standards. So, for example, the moral decline that we've seen, these kinds of things are obvious signs. But of course, we've always seen that in history, right? So what's the real essence of the end times? Well, according to 2 Thessalonians, Paul says that the church will undergo a massive apostasy. We'll see more and more and more of the church caving to that idea. And in my view, this is my opinion based on many of the church fathers like St. Cyril of Alexandria and a lot of his interpretation of scripture. He believes that the largely Gentile church, now there have always been Jewish believers in every age of the church, but the idea based on Romans 11 that the largely mainly Gentile church will eventually apostatize, and then we'll begin to see more and more Jews convert to the faith and be grafted in according to what Paul says. And so this is typically, even the Orthodox Church, many of its saints and elders have pointed out that one of the key signs that we would be living in the last days would be more and more Jews converting to authentic Christianity, in my view, to Orthodox Christianity, and we would see a revival. So that is one of the signs that's listed, as well as a massive apostasy of the largely Gentile church. Doesn't mean there won't be still Gentile believers in the end times or anything like that. There would be, but it's sort of a reversal, right? In the first century, you had the Jews not accepting on the whole, in terms of the national acceptance of the message of Christ. And then at the end, you kind of get a flip where most of the Gentile church, where Jesus talks about the times of the Gentiles coming to an end, it'll flip to where you'll have a conversion of the Jews. And I think that's what Romans 11 is talking about. But I think both of these things are taught in Scripture. I don't think that it's a either or. We have to fall over into these extremes that a lot of people fall over into when it comes to these sort of difficult, controversial questions. But regardless, when we consider that figure of Antichrist, one of the key figures that we have to look at as an end times emblem would be the figure of Nero. I believe that there's a great book written by Dr. Ken Gentry. It's a PhD thesis on the dating of the book of Revelation. He makes a really strong argument that it was written prior to 100 AD. And he argues that the best figure that in the first century fit this image of Antichrist would be Nero. Nero Caesar, of course, was a rabid persecutor of the church and of Christianity. And one of the key indicators that this could be the case is that John in the Apocalypse is using 666 as a form of gematria. Now, I don't mean that in a weird esoteric sense, just in the sense of a code, because in the ancient world, languages functioned also as their numerical indicators, right? So alpha would be the number one, beta would be the number two in the Greek. And so what's interesting is that there are textual variants of the Apocalypse, specifically where it mentions the 666. There's a few manuscripts that mention 616, and interestingly, you can tease out of that Nero Caesar in both the 666 and the 616, which is a really strong indicator that John, writing in code and wanting to mention, you know, to the seven churches of Asia Minor, the figure of Antichrist the beast under the guise of Rome, and we know it's Rome because he says the city on seven hills where the beast is. He's definitely talking about, in my view, Nero Caesar. And so that's, again, a very important indicator that proves that a lot of Jesus's prophecies and predictions in Luke 21 and Matthew 24 are fulfilled in 70 AD. And that proves to us the New Testament. It proves in part the veracity of Jesus's messages, especially in the Olivet Discourse. That's why the book of the Apocalypse, again, written to seven actual historical churches in Asia Minor. And by the way, several of those churches still exist. Several of those Orthodox churches still exist. Orthodox Church of Ephesus. It traces its lineage all the way back to the time when John was writing his letters to them, the bishops of Ephesus, right? And, you know, he begins that letter by saying, these things will quickly come to pass. Okay, well, if the book is primarily about stuff 2,000 years later, it doesn't really have much reference to the people at that time who got the message that it would quickly come to pass, right? Remember, Jesus said that a lot of these things would come upon this generation. So I do think there's end times events, but I think the events of 70 AD are a type of the end time events, right? And that's the Orthodox view. There's a great book put out by Jordanville Monastery, which is an Orthodox monastery, which is a collection of saints, elders, and church fathers on their takes on the history or from the history of the church on Antichrist and apostasy. And they make this point that the destruction of the temple in 70 AD is a type of the end of the world because the temple is an emblem of the universe. And so it's being destroyed and raised as an emblem of the heavens and the earth being rolled up, as Hebrews talks about at the end of the world, right? So it's kind of like a pre-signifier of the end times. And we can look at other figures like Nero and so forth as a final Antichrist, just as we saw that mirroring event going back to Antioch.
We have a giant sale going right now of amazing products that you and your family really, really need. And we also need the funding to stay on air and not have InfoWars shut down. You need these products. These are all amazing products at great prices at InfoWarsStore.com. It's the July 4th super sale, and it starts today. We have 50% off plus double Patriot points on Brain Force Plus, Ultra 12, Vitamin D3 Gummies, Ultimate Krill Oil. That's a huge deal. Lung Cleanse Plus, Fizzy Magnesium, Prostagard, Ultimate Fish Oil, VasoBeat Complete, 40% off on Knockout Sleep Support, Alpha Power, Living Defense Plus, Whole Food Multivitamin, Pollen Block, Survival Shield X2, all Dr. Jones Natural products, massively discounted 40%, and up to 60% off in double Patriot points on Super Female Vitality, and finally, save a massive 75% off on Hair and Beard Support Formula. It's 75% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget that Alex Jones is Right t-shirt while you're there.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, y'all. Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. This is your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're talking about end times. We're talking about Antichrist, and specifically the biblical signs of the end times, what those would be. And we were looking at different historical figures who were types of Antichrist. And we had just gotten to the figure of Nero Caesar, who heavily persecuted the church right around the time of John the Revelator and the time of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, where his general Titus Vespasian comes in and destroys the temple in much the same fashion as Antiochus Epiphanes had done, and all the way back to the Babylonians, who sacked the temple first back in 586 BC. So we're seeing this repeated pattern. And, you know, if you read 2 Thessalonians, Paul goes on to talk about the other element that we got to get to, which is the end times delusion. The end times delusion. What is that? Well, he says that before the coming of Antichrist, he says there will be an apostasy. And he talks about a falling away, and this will reveal the man of sin. He says that the man of sin will exalt himself and oppose himself to all gods and all figures and all entities or anything called God, so that he will sit in the temple and proclaim himself to be God. Now, in the history of the church, there have been, all the way back for 2,000 years, there have been basically two different interpretations of this text. I don't have any certainty. I mean, I could see either one of them being true. One of them is the idea that there will be an actual third temple rebuilt, and that would be the temple that Antichrist would stand up in and proclaim himself to be God in. The other view is that the temple of God here is symbolically speaking of the church as God's true new temple, and that it would be a figure who invades the church, so to speak, and calls himself God. Either one, I think, is possible and makes sense. Many of the church fathers do tend to think that a new rebuilt temple would be the actual sign of Antichrist. And so many of the Orthodox elders and church fathers and saints do make this point to say that if you're looking for a couple of the key signs of the final end times, one of those would be the move towards a world religion. One of those would be the move towards a world state. One of those would be the persecution and shutting down of classical traditional Christianity in all forms. And another one of those would be the attempt to subvert the church and turn it into a world religion, and to control and track and trace everybody's moves, everybody's economic transactions, and so forth. So those are the key signs. And then the last one being conversion of the Jews. So according to Orthodoxy, that's our view. We think that those are the real signs. Are we in the last days? I don't know. I can't say. That's not my position to say. But I can say that these are the signs that we should look for. And these are the ones that I think Scripture talks about. And the most fascinating here is this idea of the complete leaving of Christianity by the nations, right? We have this idea that there will be a great falling away, a great apostasy, presumably amongst professing Christianity, to accept some kind of world religion, some kind of New Age, presumably, type of thing. In the apocalypse, we have this important figure who is the false prophet. And we don't exactly know who it is or what it is, but it seems to be a figure who has the ability to deceive the nations in a religious way, whereas Antichrist is specifically a state figure, right? And we know that in the apocalypse, there's this period where it says that the whore, this false religion, rides the beast. And so they're allied for a time period at the end. And then it says that Antichrist decides to cast off the woman, doesn't need her anymore, and proclaims himself to be God, right? So there's this period where there's a sort of false, union and, let's all love each other and we're going to, bring world peace and this kind of stuff. And the false prophet, this sort of false religious leader of the end times, deceives the nations and points them to Antichrist, and then eventually Antichrist says, I'm done with you. I don't need you. I don't need your stupid fake religion. I'm the true God here, right? And I think that's what Paul's getting at here, is this final act of blasphemy. And we get really clear indicators here and in the apocalypse that this is an intentional inversion of the incarnation. So if you remember Jesus becoming incarnate at his first advent, right, coming to earth, the second person of Godhead becoming man, living his life on earth, teaching us, dying for redemption for our sins, to bring us to the resurrection. We get an inversion of that in the apocalypse with the figure of Antichrist, who, instead of claiming to be God, is essentially demonically possessed, many of the church fathers say, and that's the source of his charisma and his ability to charm the nations and whatnot. And he sort of mimics the life of Christ in many ways, even to the point of an apparent wound where he revives from. And by the way, there was an event in Nero's life where something like this happened, whether it's a complete deception or whether it's some demonic event or miracle, or who knows, an evil miracle, we don't know. But it's something like that where, again, it mimics the life of Christ, right, to survive some sort of death-type experience. or to come back from the dead. But we're told that, of course, he deceives the nations through all kinds of lying signs and wonders. And the religion of Antichrist does the same thing, right? It points to him and it involves a mass deception. It could be something like what we see with the New Age and the gurus and all the, you know, Madame Blavatsky's Great White Brotherhood and Maitreya. It could be something like that. It could be a thing that has yet to come that we haven't seen yet. It could be something, you know, related to the so-called discovery of off-world entities or aliens, right? It could be a new alien deception. We don't know, right? It might be 500 years from now. It might be 1,000 years. We don't know. But whatever or whenever it comes, we will definitely see those signs of a new type of religion, probably masquerading, as Paul seems to say here, under the guise of a new type of Christianity, a new universal religion. Very plausible, too, that it could be a pope type of figure. I don't think the present pope is the Antichrist or the false prophet. I'm not saying that, but it could be something like that in the future of a fallen away global world religion that then seeks to turn everyone not to Jesus, but to some new kind of state-run religion or some, you know, something like that. They might try to tie it into transhumanism and right, a new type of promise of immortality, right? So I think that when we look for the fact that we're told that Antichrist and the final deception will really involve a mimicking of Christianity, we can begin to look for the patterns and the signs of what historic Christianity teaches and offers, and then we'll see that the end times deception is the mimic of that. It's the cheap copy of that. That, for example, as we said, eternal life through technology and transhumanism, solving all the economic crises, right, and poverty through tracking and tracing, right? If we could just track and trace everything, and then we could create a fair world order, something like that, right? The idea of the world religion. Oh, we don't need dogmas anymore. We don't need the Bible and Trinity and those boring old dusty doctrines. What we need is something new about the inner Christ, the inner God, the inner spirit, the inner consciousness. You know, could be anything like that. Meditate. It could be, you know, the alien space brothers or the Bible's really a Gnostic text about the alien space brothers. Who knows? It could be any of those things. But all of those things tend to, what we do see is that there's always a convergence, right? The convergence towards, if we only got rid of nation states, if we only got rid of families, if we only got rid of these patriarchal oppressive things, then we could have true equality, liberty, equality, and fraternity, right? The Illuminist dictum. If we could have those things, then we would all be free from the, what does Psalm 2 say? You know, the nation's rage. How can we be free from the cords of the Lord and his Messiah, right? In Psalm 2. So that's the spirit of Antichrist there, again, manifested clearly at the end in this move towards the resurrection of Babel. Remember that. It's just like in, what did Jesus say, in the days of Noah, right? Right around the same time, you have the Nimrod Babel situation. Well, the end times, we'll see very similar situations where there will be an attempt towards this global order, a Babel, Tower of Babel type of thing. And that's what all those previous empires had tried to do. You ever wonder why all the ancient world empires tried to do the exact same thing? Why would they try to exalt the emperor as the God figure? Why did they try to create a one world order? Why did they try to create a one imperial religion? Why did they do all those things? Well, because they were motivated by the same spirit, the same demonic entity. Satan was behind those world religions. That's what I'm trying to say, right? Or those imperial world religions, I should say. And then it doesn't change until, according to Daniel 2, in the Roman Empire, the Messiah is born, and this crushes that fourth emperor, or that empire, which is Rome. That's the empire under which Jesus was born. It's not an end times empire. Daniel 2 is talking about the birth of the Messiah in the Roman Empire, which happened at his first advent. And then he sets up his kingdom, which will never...
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jay Dyer, your guest host for the fourth hour here. We're talking about signs of the end times, the types of Antichrist, and what are the authentic biblical patterns that we should look for. And, of course, there's many others. I was just trying to boil it down to some of the key ones. We know about, you know, there would be plagues and famines and all those kinds of things, sure. But the real key sign, because those always exist, right? But I think that we have to look for other key indicators that don't always exist, such as the conversion of the Jews, such as a massive apostasy of Christianity, an attempt to create a one-world religion that is in ways patterned on or similar to Christianity, but more of a pseudo-Christianity, more of a pseudo-universal religion that kind of probably integrates all of the religious leaders and all the cults
And cults are another thing, like the explosion of false religions, explosions of cults, explosions of demonic activities, Satanism. I think all of these would be under that umbrella of a false end times religion that we should look for. The mark of the beast, whatever that will be, some sort of chip, some sort of nanotech. We don't know yet. A future thing that's coming. I definitely think, as we said, the last couple of years, we see a pattern or a type of that kind of thing. And again, if you're looking for really good proof that the biblical theology is true, we don't have to look much further than the fact that doesn't it seem to accurately describe this recurring pattern in history and that it will occur again? Right, talking about the attempt to create a one-world religion, a one-world currency, a one-world government, all under the aegis of nothing to do with Jesus. So just make sure you get rid of him or rebrand him into something a little more palatable, right? Cut out a lot of those texts where he talks about, you know, John 14:6 being the way, the truth, and the life. None of that stuff, right? Just make it like Christ consciousness, and he's one of the many avatars and one of the many world teachers, right? This is the ecumenist New Age religion that the Rockefellers were really into advocating and promoting according to their authorized biography. So those are the key signs to look for, and I don't think we have to get too crazy into the speculations about dates and this kind of stuff. We don't need to know the date and the hour because we know the signs that will precede that final end times situation. Obviously, there'll be a lot of persecution. There will be a lot of martyrs of real, authentic Christianity. And then we have the final, you know, resurrection and the great white throne judgment, which the last few chapters of the Apocalypse talk about as a future-oriented scenario. So that's my take on that. As I said, a really good book if you want to go further into this is Dr. Ken Gentry's book, Before Jerusalem Fell. There's a really good commentary written by a guy who was kind of into the Anglican sphere of theology and was getting really close to becoming Orthodox towards the end of his life, but he died before that. A guy named David Chilton wrote a really good book called Days of Vengeance, which is a really excellent long commentary on the Book of the Apocalypse. There's another book by Milton Terry called Biblical Apocalyptics, or George Peter Holford's book, The Destruction of Jerusalem, or David Chilton's book, Paradise Restored. Those are all texts that I really recommend that have influenced me quite a bit. And to really show the Orthodox view, I would say look at the sermons of St. John Chrysostom on Matthew 24, or the teachings of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, and as well as St. Cyril of Alexandria. Both of those church fathers discuss these topics. In good depth, but I also want to note that to change it up a little bit, although it's kind of related to this, my third book is about to come out. It just went to the printer a couple of days ago, so it should be arriving in the next week or two. And I'm happy to say that this is a little different. Everybody knows that if you like my stuff, if you've not seen my first two books, they dealt with Hollywood, Esoteric Hollywood 1 and 2, where we covered a lot of movies and directors and inside stuff relating to Hollywood. And I'd written most of those articles, you know, 10, 11 years ago. So they ended up being, in a weird way, in a providential way, kind of prophetic. I'm not saying I'm a prophet. I'm not. But because I talked about a lot of the Hollywood-style scandals and the blackmail, blackmail networks that we see out there now that have been talked about a lot in the last few years. You know, I'd covered a lot of that stuff in my book many years ago. And so a lot of my theories and a lot of my analyses have proven to, I think, correct. It's a little different because over the years I've had a lot of people say, hey, you know, I'm really interested in a lot of the philosophy that you talk about, a lot of the geopolitics that you talk about, a lot of the apologetic argumentation against atheism, against logical fallacies. What about that stuff? You know, Hollywood is fun and that's neat to talk about that and the movie symbolism, but maybe something that, so people have asked for introductions to philosophy, introductions to analyzing literature and symbols and movies the way that I do that. And how do you do that? What's your approach? What's your pattern? Well, I decided to write a book on that. And so it's a very readable, I call it an educated person's introduction to philosophical thinking. So it's not a philosophy textbook. It's not a boring, dry thing where you're going to have to try to, you know, memorize a bunch of stuff. It's more so, again, a readable introduction to philosophical thinking, to how to do critical thinking, to how to analyze works of literature or movies. Because if reading a book and decoding the symbolism is not much different than watching a movie and decoding the symbolism. Just different mediums, right? So it's called Meta Narratives, and it's essays in philosophy and symbolism. and the final copy and all that's been, as I said, sent to the printer. And so basically we go through the first few chapters talking about what metaphysics is and why this has been discarded from philosophy and education. It's something that the ancient and medieval world were very fond of. And because of the predominance of atheism and materialism, metaphysics has pretty much been done away with, right? Soul, mind, abstract objects, God, angels, those things are all superstition. We've done away with all that. We're smart, rationalistic atheists now. We don't need any of that jibber jabber. But is that really sensible? So I go through a heavy critique of the scientistic worldview, not science, but scientism and the worldview of scientism. In the first few chapters, I go into explaining metaphysics. I go into ancient famous texts of philosophy that are really insightful that have kind of been suppressed in academia, like Plato's Timaeus, Plato's Phaedo. These are famous philosophical essays and dialogues that don't get a lot of coverage even in academia. Why? Well, in my view, because they point us to the transcendent. They point us to God. They point us to divine things beyond just the here and the now. So clearly, academia is not going to be that interested in that because they have an agenda. Academia is bought off and paid for and under the aegis of the same globalist agenda, right, that we've been talking about for so long as all of the other areas of life. So you're not going to get that great of a philosophical education unless you were to like specialize in Plato. Then you might go into these kinds of things, right? So I have essays where I go into that and kind of decoding and bringing out the ancient archetypal symbols and patterns that we see in the ancient Greek philosophy from Plato and Aristotle. I go into heavy critiques of Darwinism and the materialist philosophy that's out there. And so I utilize quite a few philosophers from both Orthodox tradition, Catholic tradition as well, Protestants as well. They all kind of come into this work where I see good arguments that are there. So even though it's not an argument, it's not a book about proving God, it's more of a preparatory book on beginning to think in different ways. How do we alter our paradigm and think and look at the world in a different way to change our paradigm? Right. I don't just automatically jump into arguing for God or anything like that. I mean, I do bring that up, but it's not primarily an apologetics book or a book about the transcendental argument for God. It's more of a preparatory book for how to start thinking in that way. And it does include some elements of, as I said, critiquing Darwinism, critiquing scientism, critiquing atheism, materialism, and those prevalent things that are out there, especially empiricism. I've got several chapters critiquing that. There's a chapter critiquing David Hume, critiquing Kant, and then the Frankfurt School. There's critiques of Nietzsche as well, and a positive appraisal of people like Dostoevsky, Nietzsche, and Kierkegaard. So you might think, well, it's not anti all the philosophers. I bring out some of the good elements in Kierkegaard and Nietzsche. There's a really in-depth chapter on Dostoevsky. Like how would we find parallels and insights into human psychology, even in literature, from somebody like Dostoevsky? I go into Egyptian philosophy and how they viewed the universe and its structure and what insights we might could even draw out of that. And then there's even a chapter on Machiavelli, who wrote a book that not many people know about called Art of War. Not the same thing as Sun Tzu's Art of War. It's a different book. Everybody knows about Machiavelli's Prince, but not many people know he wrote another book about warfare, which actually was very important in terms of setting the stage for the revolution out of medieval warfare into modern warfare. And that's important to go into because one of the most famous books talks about false flags, right? So I try to bring in even the metaphysics or the higher level analysis of geopolitics as well. It's not primarily a geopolitics book, but that's what it is. You want to get pre-orders of that, will be out in the next couple of weeks. You can go to my website. The link is there at the top of the website for pre-orders. All the copies from my website are signed, and we're going to be having a Nashville event. So if you live in the Nashville area, go to my social medias. I think around July 30th, maybe August 6th, we're going to have an event. It'll be a ticketed event. And so look for the exact date. I'll put it up. It'll be a speaking event. It'll be a lot of fun. You can come on out if you're in the Nashville area in about a month on a Saturday. And I'll be talking about the book. I'll be acting silly. I'll be doing all the impressions that you're used to. So hopefully it'll be a fun event. I'll speak to this again when we have a venue locked down in the next couple weeks. And it'll be about a month out. So follow me on social media if you want to come out to the speaking event.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's BESTWHEY protein.net or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.